Okay, we're going to look at that psalm together this morning, and we're going to do that because the theme I want us to be considering is coping with difficulties. I want us to do that because, you know, one of the things about the Christian life is that it's full of difficulties. Jesus tells us that, you know, we will have trials and tribulations in our lives, and then it's not unusual for us to have those kinds of times in our lives. And, you know, we hear all the time now, don't we? You turn the news on and there's this difficulty and that difficulty, and politicians are saying we live in unprecedented times, and in a way we are living in unprecedented times, but in another way we're not, because people have always had problems, they've always had difficulties, and that's a part of life. And today now I want us to look at a man who had some real difficulties in his life, a believer, a man of God. And we know he had these experiences because he wrote them down for us. And when he wrote them down for us, he was very honest and very open. And he wrote them down for us in that psalm that we read together. And so we're going to look at that psalm together this morning. Standpoints, if you like. The first is, I want us to think about how David was feeling when he wrote the psalm. And then I want us to look at what his focus was when he was in that situation that he was in. And then I want us to look at his faith and how he used his faith to deal with, to cope with the situation that in God's providence the Lord had put him. So we're going to look at the psalm, feelings, focus, and faith. All right, so let's start off by looking at the way in which how David would have been feeling in that situation. So what do we know of the situation that he was in? We don't know precisely the situation that he was in, and he would have written this psalm on reflection, really, as part of the bigger picture of his life. And you know, David had lots of difficulties in his life, but it seems that this particular psalm was written around that time of his life when he was under real pressure from Saul. And if you remember then, you know, Saul was out to get him. Saul was very jealous of David, and really Saul had lost it, and he was becoming increasingly unpredictable, and was obsessive about sorting David out because of the popularity that David was gaining with the people. And so Saul pursued David relentlessly and put out spies in order to try and track him down. And he was really wanting to get him. And his purpose was to kill David. That was what he wanted. He wanted David out of the way. So it was a really serious situation for David, and David would be trying to get away from Saul, and he would find himself in all kinds of difficult circumstances. And this psalm then would reflect some of his experience during that, and we'd find himself, you know, staying in caves, hiding in caves from all of these people that that were after him. And at this particular point in time, then he was on his own. He didn't have people with him. So, given that kind of situation that David was probably in then, and certainly had been in his life then, what do we think that would have been like? How can we think about and describe that experience that he was having? Well, I think that the first thing we can say is that it was dangerous. It was a dangerous situation that he was in. His life was constantly under threat. There were watchers. Saul had paid for there to be watchers looking out for him to report back to him if they saw him throughout the country. You know, this was happening. He was on his own right now. Anyone that he contacted to try and help him, then that would put them in difficulty because Saul then would have done anything to get the information from them that he was looking for in order to find David. And David contacting them could have put them in serious difficulties themselves. He couldn't move around freely. And he would have had to have planned any moves that he was thinking of making so that he wouldn't be discovered. These were for him life and death issues. So it was dangerous. And then I think we can say that it was stressful. It was stressful physically, it was stressful emotionally, and it was stressful mentally. Now, physically, he would have been constantly on the move. He wouldn't have been eating properly. He wouldn't have been sleeping properly. The environment that he was in lots of the time would have been very unpleasant. So physically, it was a very stressful situation. Emotionally, then it clearly had got him down. So he describes himself in the psalm as like this. He says, every day I have sorrow in my heart. Every day he was discouraged. He was depressed. Mentally, then there was stuff going on in his mind all of the time. He describes himself as wrestling with his thoughts. You know, when we're in difficult situations, you know how those thoughts can just come intruding into our minds. They seem to overwhelm us at times, so intense they can be. And with all of that going on, he ended up then getting into the what-if scenario. You know, I'm sure you are familiar with this yourselves. You know, we find ourselves under a lot of stress mentally when we get into thinking about, well, if our circumstances are like this, what if this happens? What if that happens? What if I do this? What if I do that? What if I lose my job? What if I get ill? You know, all those what ifs that come into our minds. And those are very hard to deal with because they're not real. You know, they're imaginary difficulties that we are thinking about. And what the Lord has said to us, that he'll give us the grace to deal with the difficulties that we're in. He doesn't give us the grace to deal with what we might imagine we might get into at some point in time in some sort of circumstances. No, he doesn't do that. So it can be very stressful mentally, and it would go on like that in his mind. Night and day kept him awake. That was the kind of mental stress that he was under. And then the other thing I think we can say about it is that it was continuous. It seemed to David that there was no end to the situation. He couldn't see any good outcome to it, and that he had no good options really. That he could discern in the situation that he was in. And so all of these things coming together now then caused him to end up feeling forgotten by God. That's how low he had got. He felt forgotten by God. He had very little hope. And he felt that this situation was really beyond his ability to cope with. And so putting all of those things together, he would have been feeling really bad in this situation, really brought low by all of this stuff going on in his life. So that's something of how he would have been feeling in the situation that he was in. So let's move on now and look at his focus. What do I mean by that? What I mean is, let's look at where David was looking during these difficult times that he was in. Now, what David wrote about his situation then shows us that he was very much aware of the circumstances that he was in, and particularly of his enemies. And it was hardly surprising that was the case, given the nature of the problems that he was facing. Saul was a powerful enemy. David was constantly having to review what his enemy was doing. He was always trying to think about his enemy's next move. And so he was thinking about and focusing on his circumstances all the time, really, because his life, he thought, depended on it. And his situation was so intense that he was drawn into looking at those circumstances, and his circumstances became his focus. That's where he was looking. And when people have come to see me, when they're struggling in their lives, then when I begin to talk to them and ask them what's happening, then really all that they can talk about to begin with is the circumstances that they're in. And that seems to block out and just hide everything else that's going on in their lives. And I think all of us will have gone through phases in our lives that we can identify with David in this. And because he was so taken up with his circumstances and so looking into his circumstances, then he began to look then for answers to his problems in his circumstances. And so he developed a strategy of keeping on the run, of outpacing his attackers, of trying to anticipate Saul's moves and outwit him. That would have had some short-term effectiveness, probably. It helped him cope with the immediate, but it didn't really deal with the fundamental issues that were going on in his life. He was really caught up in his circumstances. His focus became very limited. He was still aware of the existence of God, but his circumstances really affected his awareness. And what happened then was that he began to look to God and talk to God through his circumstances. And I want you to try and grasp that. Think now. I'll try to see if this is represents God here, and we are here, and we have this direct relationship with God, and we talk to Him in that direct way. And then over here are our circumstances that we're in, and what happens is that our focus then gets taken over to our circumstances, and we get so caught up in our circumstances that we end up looking to God that way. You see that? That way, instead of this way. And what happens when we're doing that, when we're looking at God through our circumstances, is that we develop a distorted perception of who God is. And when we've got that distorted perception, then it begins to undermine our lives, our relationship with him, and then everything that's going on in that relationship with him, including the circumstances that we're in. And we end up wondering, well, why on earth is this going on? And David then would have been thinking, well, you know, why is this happening then? He hadn't done anything wrong. He wasn't being punished, though he would have felt like he was being punished, probably. But he hadn't done anything wrong. Such was the way in which his view of God became distorted that he ended up then thinking that God had forgotten him. He wasn't saying that God doesn't exist anymore. He was saying that God had forgotten him and that God was not bothered with him anymore. And so his perception of God was not that of a loving father who knows all of his problems and was looking after him. His perception was not that at all. His perception had become so distorted by the way that he was responding to the situation that he was in. Then he felt, well, God doesn't want to have anything to do with me any longer. And his focus became more and more on himself and not on God. And, you probably know that the more that we do that and the more that we look into ourselves, the more we see what we don't like. We're not going to find the answers to the difficulties that we are experiencing in ourselves. It's not going to be there. And the more we look and the more we search, then the more discouraged that we will be. And then what we tend to do is, as I was saying earlier, we look for things that we can put our faith in those circumstances that we find ourselves. And for unbelievers then in those circumstances who really have no awareness of God being in this somehow, well then, unbelievers will turn to all kinds of other things to enable them to cope. And that's where lots of problems come into people's lives when they rely on things like alcohol and drugs or money or particular people or success, and they put their faith in these things. And eventually they realize that those things really are not sufficient to help them cope with what it is that they are trying to deal with. So that's the situation that David was in, and that's the focus that he had at that point with the results that had. So let me ask us all a question now. How much does that situation that David found himself in, how much does that resonate with us right now? Can we identify with David? Let's leave David there for a moment and consider our present situation. See, with all of these restrictions and guidelines and so forth that have now been imposed on us again, then with the COVID virus, then it is our situations and more than others? Is it stressful Well, I'm sure it's stressful for most, if not all of us. It's got implications for us in this. Some of those stresses that I was describing earlier, physically, emotionally, mentally, then, you know, perhaps we are experiencing some of that now in our present situation. Or perhaps there are particular issues that we're having to deal with right now that are making life difficult for us. And is the situation that we're in right now, is it ongoing without an end in sight? Well, I think it is. You know, that's what they keep saying to us all the time, isn't it? You know, this is going to go on. Don't think that this virus is gone. It's still with us. It's going to be with us. It doesn't seem to be any good outcome or any good outcome soon in this situation that we find ourselves. So I think there are lots of similarities in the situation that David was in and in the situation that we can find ourselves in and perhaps do find ourselves in right now. So how did David then respond to that situation that he was in, and what can we learn from that? And so let's move on now to the third thing for us to look at, and that is David's faith. We've looked at his feelings, we've looked at his focus. Now look at his faith. How did David use his faith? Well, I think we can see from the psalm, then he prayed, didn't he? Now, I think at this point in time then, that would have been a matter of faith for him, because I'm sure that he didn't feel like praying. If he was feeling that God had forgotten him, then he would not have felt like praying to God. So what he did then was he prayed on the basis of what he knew about God. It wasn't his experiential relationship with God and his confidence in God that was drawing him to talk to God about this situation. But he knew things about God, and he remembered those things, and those things encouraged him then to talk to God about the situation that he was in. And he prayed in desperation, didn't he? He says in the psalm, he says, "Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death." Saying, you know, "Lord, do something, please, about this. Help me with this. Or I'm going to, you know, go to bed one night and go to sleep, and I'm not going to wake up. I'm going to die." And his prayer then was short, and it was to the point. It was honest. I found in my experience that sometimes, our times when we come together to pray together, then we're more concerned about what other people think about our prayers and what it is that we're actually saying to God. And we're thinking we have to couch our prayers in certain kinds of ways. We are not open and honest with him. Well, David was open and honest with God. He talked to God about where it's really at and how he was feeling and what his fears and his concerns were, and asked God directly and clearly for help with those things. So by faith then, he prayed. But then also by faith then, he changed his focus. We've talked about his focus and how he had become really focused on his circumstances. Let me read verses 3 and 4 to you. "Look on me and answer, O Lord, My God, give light to my eyes or I will sleep in death. My enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. You know, he's into the what ifs, isn't he? You know, he's imagining what's going to happen in the future. And it's really getting him down. And he's saying to God, well, you know, it will all be for nothing. All that has happened so far will be for nothing, because my enemies will think that they have got victory over me. So what the scriptures tell us is that what we have to do is we have to take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. Like Paul says that to the Corinthians when he's talking about the spiritual warfare that they were in and that we're all in. We have to think about our thinking. Take our thoughts captive. Take those thoughts that are taking us off to other places, obedient to the Lord Jesus. Now, listen to what he is saying about those thoughts, not what our imaginations are saying about those thoughts. And as he begins to do this, as he begins to take those thoughts captive, then that vague awareness that he has of God, that distorted perception which causes him to think that God has forgotten him, then he begins then to see God more clearly. You know, that remember that way in which things have gone like this? Well, now he's beginning to come back this way, and he's beginning to see God more clearly now. And he talks about God's unfailing love, and he remembers what God has done for him in his life, in his experience, how he's helped him in times that have gone past. And he begins to see more of what God is really like. All powerful, that he is sovereign and in control of everything. God to rejoice. And then he sings. Now, it doesn't say anything about his circumstances changing. What's happened is that his focus has changed and he sees God more clearly than he was seeing him when he was viewing God through his circumstances. And now, instead of seeing God through his circumstances, he's seeing his circumstances through God. And that is the most profound change. That's so fundamental in our lives and in our experience of life. To see the reality of our lives through God rather than God through our circumstances. That is such an important change. And so by the end of the psalm then, what has happened is, as he's gone through this, now, with the Lord, as he's thought about these things, as he's talked to the Lord about them, as he's taken his thoughts captive and made them obedient to Christ, then he's no longer thinking about God being there somewhere in the big picture. Now he's having this more direct experiential knowledge of God. And it's making a huge change in him and his experience. So what can we learn from this now? We've already said our present situation is not too dissimilar from David's. There's danger. There's stress. It's ongoing. No end that we can see in sight. So, you know, how are we feeling? Where is our focus? And how are we using our faith? You know, those are the things we need to consider in the reality that we're in. And we've all got, as well as this virus thing, we've all got things in our lives that concern us and that we have difficulty with. It might be about our jobs. It might be about our family. It might be about our health. Things that are really getting to us right now, that we feel are beyond our ability to cope with. We are not in control of these things. And we're right. We're right. We're not in control of these things. We aren't. So what can we learn? Well, firstly, if we're feeling anxious and down and hopeless, then one of the things we need to realize is that other believers have been in similar circumstances and are in similar circumstances now, probably, in terms of how they are feeling. I would be amazed if there's anyone in this group of us together this morning who is not having any struggles with anything at this point in time. We will have these struggles, perhaps not as intense as at other times, but we are in this together. We will have them. We need to remember that it's easy to get drawn into our circumstances and lose focus. Remember Peter, right? When the disciples were in the boat on the water, and then the storm came up, and Jesus then was walking towards them. And, you know, they thought it was a ghost in the first place. But then when they realized it was him and he was walking on the water, and there was the wind and the waves going on, then of course Peter called out to him and he said, "Lord, I want to come to you. I want to come to you." So Jesus said, well, come on, come then. And Peter stepped out of the boat and he stepped onto the water and he stood there and he began to walk towards Jesus. He just got his legs over the boat. He was looking at Jesus there, calling him to him. And he stood there and began to walk. And then what happened was that he just turned his focus away from Jesus and he looked at the wind and he looked at the waves and he lost his focus. He was looking to Jesus through his circumstances. And then what happened? Well, then he began to sink. And of course, then he was calling out in desperation, "Lord, Lord, help me, please." And Jesus then straight away helped him. He didn't give him a theology lesson, first of all. He just put out his hands and he helped Peter and saved him from going under. So focus. See, how we focus is so important. And then we need to keep meeting with each other and talking. In the first place, we need to talk to our Father. It's so important that we keep talking to him. He's the person that we need to talk to more than anybody else, but also that we need to talk to each other as we're able to. The Lord has given us this technology now in these unusual circumstances to be able to do that. And it is frustrating at times, and this technology is sort of over my head, but just to be able to see people, I'm able to see you now. That brings some level of normality into my life. When I do these pre-recorded sermons for our church, I'm just looking at a screen of myself. Oh dear. Ooh, who wants that? Of course, you're doing that now. So, but you know what I mean, right? It's so much better to be able to see each other. And we need to make use of that. And when we are with each other, to really be open and honest with each other, not necessarily in a big meeting, but just, just share our struggles with each other so that we can help each other. And that prayer doesn't have to be long and theological to be effective. You know? It's like Nehemiah, isn't it? When, you know, in the situation he was in, he just sent up these arrow prayers, as they've been called, in his situation there. And to remember then that faith and focus, then they are very much linked together. We need faith to focus, and our focus affects our faith. It's an interaction between those two things. We have to stay focused. And when we are focused, we need to remember those things about God that he has shown to us. He's all-powerful, in complete control. Nothing escapes his attention. He never leaves us or forsakes us. This virus, no virus is outside of his control. That's an amazing thing, isn't it? And that in all of this, even in these difficult circumstances that we find ourselves in, then God is working all of these things for our good. Now, he tells us exactly what that means, but that's another sermon, so we don't have the time to look at that now. But he's working all of these things for our good. So, coping with circumstances, difficult circumstances. These are the things that knowing them will be helpful. But the bottom line is that, you know, we need to do more than know them, don't we? See, the bottom line is that we have to know them and we have to believe them. See, that's the bottom line. We have to believe them. Do we know? Do we believe the things we know are true? See, that's where the rubber meets the road. Is how we believe these things. Do we really believe that God knows the number of hairs on our head? Do we really believe that he knows about every sparrow in creation and when it falls? Do we really believe that God sees everything about this virus all of the time and what it's doing? Do we believe that he's really in control about everything, even down to the most minute level, even to the cells in our bodies and those things that are smaller than our cells? Do we believe that he's in control of all of that? And our experience in the situations that God puts us, then how we believe those things will affect our experience. It's as basic as that, you know. If I believe God is control of every cell in my body, then I know how he's going to work that out for my good, because he's in control of it. I believe him. He loves me. He knows better than I do. I'm glad, you know, if I get ill, I'm glad of all of the doctors and so forth, and really appreciate them and all of the staff in this virus situation. They are great. The bottom line is, you know, God is in control of it. Absolutely in control of it. And it's in him that we have to put our faith. And he's well able to cope with all of the difficulties that we will ever find ourselves in. So let's ask the Spirit's help to enable us to trust more, to focus better, to trust more, to rejoice as we see God more clearly, and to sing his praises even in these most difficult of circumstances that we find ourselves in right now.